Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, August 29th, 2019. Many topics to cover tonight. It's really an interesting week, and I'll be covering this topic where allegedly Trump talked about blowing up hurricanes with a nuclear bomb. But clearly, they're trying to make him sound like what they did to Barry Goldwater. Remember back when I was young, I was probably in my college years in the 60s during the Vietnam era, and Goldwater made some comments, and the news media took it and blew it pretty much out of proportion, and then made a case against him as if he was going to be a nutcase and have us in nuclear wars. But anyway, they tried this with Trump, and it didn't work to blow it out of proportion. But basically what he was asking was, can't we do something with technology regarding these hurricane things? They keep coming in, and the answer is yes. I mean, the technology to manipulate and deal with hurricanes I worked on in the mid-90s. And the Russian scientists that I worked with are very well aware of this. They went to the United Nations to have this banned. But the issue is that Trump's advisors are completely unaware of this. This happened in a national security meeting. So it would be like the top generals, etc., are just clueless. I mean, these people, you would think that military commanders would have a good grasp at a tier one level of weather, something that affects literally everything that they might do in a conflict of some kind. So to not understand the weather, as I say in my, I think I said this in the Atlantis to Tesla book, you cannot predict the weather if you don't know what causes the weather. I saw some bubble-headed person, I won't say whether it was male or female, because I might be branded as a racist, or some other brand of... Anyway, but the point is, I saw a meteorologist saying how they study the weather so that they can tell us what's going on with the weather. Well, what they study in meteorology school is completely bogus, has nothing to do with the weather. And the weather readers that you see on TV are there because of how they look. They read the weather. They read the weather report. They read what to say about the weather. So anyway, I'll be discussing that. First, a commentary on burning the Amazon jungle. Unless you live in a complete cube eggshell somewhere off in the middle of your grandma's basement, you would realize that the Amazon jungles have been set. This is the Amazon jungle is a rainforest, if you haven't noticed. And it doesn't just burn. These fires are being caused just like the California fires by laser satellites. They're trying to burn out the indigenous people. And there have been clips of the indigenous people saying they're starting these fires. Please help us. So the Brazilian government is trying, which is controlled by the World Bank, remembered a couple years ago, it was during the Olympics, the Summer Olympics held in Brazil, they basically did a coup. They walked into the president's office and hauled him out and put him in jail and put some, not to use the word, but they had some created charges. They had some charges created to put him in jail, and then they put the World Banker man in office there, in the presidential office, and he's been running the show ever since. It's what they wanted to do in Venezuela with this Guido guy, who was not even living in Venezuela. He spent his time learning how to operate the World Bank agenda. He was in Kosovo, and he was in the Ukraine in for the last 10 years, learning how to manipulate via the World Bank, these governments, and that's who they were going to try and prop up to be president of Venezuela. This guy had never even run in an election in Venezuela. He'd never run for president. How could they just say, well, he's our president? That's insane. But anyway, that's what they did do in Brazil. So this president is burning down the Amazon jungle, trying to eradicate indigenous groups of people. Insane. But this is going on. It's the way they want to run the United States, by the way, but there's a guy in the office that isn't playing the game. Trump went and was a big thorn in the side of the G7. Oh, my God. And the news media there. The news media is just so bought and paid for. It just, but as, that also shows you that collision between Trump and the news media and the other members of G7 just shows the international collusion that's going on between the American news media and the World Bank. Trump isn't doing the World Bank agenda. In spite of the Federal Reserve, whose job it's always been to keep the American economy down, to bring about the every 7-year recession, which sucks the money out of the public, to keep taxes high and to keep wars going, which is what the other cohort in this conspiracy is, the CIA. Okay, so anyway, that's life as usual in a South American, Latin American banana republic like Brazil. Okay, last week I made a mistake, and so here is the correction. I mentioned, I was discussing the PG&E bankruptcy, and I happened to mention the San Onofre nuclear plant. Now, I mentioned, I stated that the San Onofre nuclear plant, which was shut down for unknown reasons, and $5 billion to decommission that plant, much, much more than you'd ever imagine or that was ever saved. So that bill went into the pool of the local power company. However, it was not P&G who was the owner. It was the San Diego Gas and Electric, California Edison, and Semper Energy is the holding company. So anyway, I stand corrected on that. But the same situation is true. These companies are folding the costs of the nuclear power plants into general maintenance. They're trying to hide the costs because they are all going to be in bankruptcy court soon. Well, I'd say within the next 2 years, every major what they call utilities. Now, this is another misnomer because a long time ago, there used to be public utility commissions, the PUC. These were at the state level. They were at sometimes the local level if you had something, a big place like California, Los Angeles, San Francisco, the Bay Area, etc. You would have a local PUC overseeing utilities, and then, of course, at the federal level. But what happened now is that these companies somehow magically became privately owned. Big companies came in because energy is a profitable business and bought them up and started making profit. So they were run for profit, not as a utility. However, the public utility commissions still were there, but they were more of a figure, more of a facade to make it look good and just and even for the general public. But these companies ran amok especially with accounting. Now, I personally know people who were accountants for PG&E, and they said the philosophy there was to buy everything as much as you can, spend as much money as you possibly could, because every dollar that was spent, there was a cost, an overhead cost, and that overhead cost could be magically absorbed and moved off to the parent owning company. So it was very profitable to be very expensive generating electricity. So if you were going to buy a desk for an office, you didn't buy a desk. You bought 100 desks. If you were going to buy paper to fill that office, you didn't buy a couple reams of paper that would be sufficient for what they had to do. You bought a truckload of paper. And on and on and on. Because the overhead padded the pockets of the owners, the shareholders, the stakeholders, as they called them. So anyway, just stand corrected a little bit, but expanding a little bit also on that. So the San Onofre plant, I've heard various stories, but my guess is that they had a nuclear incident there because of a poorly designed plant. They couldn't fix it, so they just shut it down, and it's sitting there. Okay, Walmart. Oh, baby, put on your seatbelt. Sit down. Put your drink down on the table. Your coffee, your juice, your whatever you're, listening to this show. Because this is in orbit, this story. Walmart has told, and I'm sure you've seen this news headline. If you haven't, you're living in a bubble someplace. Walmart has told Tesla, which is Elon Musk's Solar City outfit, to get all of their junk, the solar panels, off the roof of Walmart stores. And then the reason is because of fires. Now, the Indio fire at a Walmart store caused $8.2 million in damage. Now, just a little aside note, when I designed the wing generator, because I'm a physicist, I'm very familiar with electronics. I've taught electronics at the advanced post-college levels. I've done a lot of work in electronics. I've done major studies for major companies relative to electronics. So not to mention, this is aside from my 25 years of telecommunications, in dealing with telecommunications experience in the industrial world. But it's something I know about. But very simply, one of the first things you learn in college or in electronics school, wherever you're learning electronics, is that low voltage, if you're dealing with power, low voltage is bad because you have a lot of high current. The wiring is very big. The connections are very critical, and they wear out, and you can have fires. So low voltage is not good when you're dealing with big power systems like a rooftop solar array. So you need very high voltage and very low current to transfer that power, just the way it is. So on my wing generator, that's how it is. I'm using on 50 kilowatt systems, I'm only using 8 gauge wire because the voltage is extremely high coming right off the power head. The voltage is very high, so the current is very low, and so the wiring is low, and so all of that critical connections, all of that becomes a lot less critical. It still has to be done correctly, but the point is, and the battery packs are commensurate with this whole system, etc. So but the idea is that on a solar panel array. And now also, I don't know for a fact, they're not really giving a lot of details here, but I would suspect that in some of these fires, of which there are now dozens of reported fires, that they were due to the Tesla Powerwall, the storage system. Somebody put in a battery storage system, and these are famous for self-igniting. And once a lithium-ion or related lithium battery catches fire, they just go into meltdown mode. They just keep self-destructing. They keep short-circuiting. So once they start self-destructing inside, they go wild. They go ballistic. They go into orbit. And so anyway, Walmart has sued Tesla. And now it comes out Apple and other ones of these green, so-called, everybody's going to be green, and pounding their chests, putting solar on their roofs. They're going to be 100% self-sufficient by, 2022 or whatever the date is they put. They're pounding their chests. Now all of a sudden they're realizing that this solar stuff is not such a good idea. I'm sure they have also realized that these systems have been in long enough that they're degrading, that in 10 years, they're not going to be performing at anywhere near optimal levels. The original, they'll probably be around 50%, maybe less. Also, these solar panels produce a lot of heat. A lot of the electricity goes into heat at junction points, not just broad heat. Only about 20% of the solar energy is converted into electricity, so that other 80% is given back off as heat. Okay, so I'm going to have a little comment about this in a minute, about some other related things where some some people at Harvard made a study, and they're comparing three-blade wind turbines to fossil fuel heat. And so anyway, I'll be talking about that. Another boondoggle from Harvard, idiots. Okay, so anyway, this is amazing, though. Finally, and remember last April, China put a moratorium on solar panels. No more solar panels, because they realized that solar panels don't work. And when the sun comes in and all of a sudden boosts the electricity power output, or if the clouds come in and the solar panel output drops, they cannot adjust the coal-fired power plants. China is primarily fired by coal. You can't all of a sudden run into a big coal plant like they have in China, the big ones. You can't magically come in with a fire hose and put out the fire. And the same with nuclear. The natural gas, if you have a correctly designed natural gas plant, you can modify on a relatively short basis. But China does not have gas plants in quantity. They have some natural gas, but mainly it's coal. So you can't power those up and down on a moment's notice. So solar doesn't work for China. And this, I all predicted this in my 2009 book, McCanny Wing Generator, World Energy Project, with the addendum, The Myth of Alternative Energy, where I call all of this out. I say, this stuff won't work. But this, once again, Walmart, this is going to be interesting because this should take Solar City to its knees. The whole, this is commensurate in time with the all of the federal offices and the state offices cutting subsidies. The five-year subsidies for these industries is ending. And they're going, oh, please, please give us more money, because their entire business model is based off of subsidies. They wouldn't exist. They would not be here. The whole point of subsidies was to get these businesses up and running so they'd be profitable. And they promised. They said, yeah, give us a fading subsidy policy where it was 100% the first year, 80% the second year, you know, on and on, whatever it was, the percentage. And in 5 years, they would be independent. Well, they haven't become independent. They have their business model built on subsidies. And I know they were all hoping that they could just pay off some politician at the end of the 5 years and get the subsidy back. But the attitude has changed. People are tired for paying for an industry that is now famous for not working. Very interesting. Okay, so all of that goes on. So the other aspect I want to point out about the Walmart issue is now there's going to be a race, a literal foot race to the bankruptcy courtroom by companies like SolarCity. Watch them dance around this one, which creates another race. All of the companies that purchased or possibly even class action lawsuits from people who have purchased this stuff and found out that, hey, it doesn't work, or have had fires based on this low voltage system that doesn't work, that they're going to be racing to sue. Because it's like, oh, let's imagine like a heart, a pacemaker for heart, or I don't know, some other medical device that starts failing in mass, causing damage to people. Well, it's a race to get to court first, or cancer, let's say. or something else, something that causes cancer. It's going to be a race to get to court first, because the guy that's second in line is going to wait for his court case. The guy that's third in line is going to have to wait for the first two ones to get finished, because no judge is going to co-try a similar case until they find out how the judge is going to rule on the first case. So if you're the thousandth guy in line, hey, guess what? You're going to be waiting 10 or 15 years before you're even heard, if you're even heard. That's the way the good old American court system works in the lawsuit world. Okay, so this is going to be a race to the courtroom to sue these companies like SolarCity and all the other ones for putting in stuff that doesn't work, that has a short lifetime. It's been sold as the best thing since sliced bread. Okay, by the way, my wing generators use gel batteries. And gel batteries are great. They are very resistant. You can use them in ice cold weather. They don't discharge over time. You can leave them sit for 6 or 10 months or longer without using them. They don't self-discharge. They can tip over. There's no liquid to add or monitor. So anyway, gel batteries are very stable. And I get mine, of course, at wholesale pricing. So that's what goes out with the wing generator. I'll talk a little bit about the wing generator in a while, what the current state is. But briefly, the wing generator, what we're moving now are the 2, 3, 5, and 10 kilowatt models, the 25 and 50 we have available. But what's the majority of interest that has come in is in the smaller models. And these also we can send out so that you can install them yourself, saving a lot of money. We don't have to send a crew out. And there's some other benefits. But anyway, I'll continue about the ultimate fate of solar. It's going downhill fast. And this I predicted in my chapter in my book, like I say, published 2009, The Myth of Alternative Energy. And also the three-blade wind turbines, now you're seeing a lot more people coming out realizing that these things don't work. The main propagator of these, people like T. Boone Pickens and other people who have made billions of dollars on the subsidies, they're just chortling. They're going, hey, this stuff doesn't work. Never worked. It wouldn't exist without subsidies, as they walk away with billions of dollars in subsidies in profit. Just by installing stuff that doesn't work, they made billions of dollars. And they knew this. This was their business model. And so there are fields out there, there's probably right now 100,000 three-blade wind turbines in the United States that don't work. And you paid for it. And they got all the money. Oh, all legal. There it is, all legal. Okay, now I put on my homepage, and this was a result of a woman writing in, a fan, writing in and saying, hey, you know, all those little bags you got, we can send them in, and they'll make bricks out of them. So they can make a brick that you could build a house with, for example, made out of little recycled bags. And so anyway, here was my response. If you haven't seen it on my homepage, I'm going to read it here so that it's also done in on my radio show. Okay, I'm going to quickly pull this up. Okay, so here is my response to the people. So this email this woman sent out to, you know, a mailing list. So it probably went out to hundreds of people. And everybody was like, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is so green. This is so, you know, everything. You know, let's all feel gushy and good about recycling little bags and making bricks that you could build a house with. So anyway, I created what I called McCanny's Law of Green Hysteria. Here it is. The following, this is on my webpage, I'm just going to read it. The following was in response to a listener who urged recycling all those little bags, etc. Sounds good and green, does it not? So here is my reply where I created McCanny's Law of Green Hysteria. In all the recent plastics hysteria, which, as with all recent green hysterias, like promoting green energy from solar and three-blade wind turbines that cost far more to build and install and recycle after their failed existence than they will ever produce in their very limited lifetimes. It comes with a caveat or gotcha. How much does it cost to recycle that bag? First of all, you have to use soap and water to clean the plastic, as is now required by most municipalities. It takes gallons of water to wash an average day's supply of plastics in an average household, not to mention the soap. Special handling at all points to get that eensy-weensy bag or straw or whatever to the recycling place to recycle. It turns out that it takes a lot of energy to recycle, and therefore recycling of itself is not as green as people make it out to be. The reason plastics have been so popular goes back to when I was a kid, long before many of you were born. People would bring their own containers to the food stores. Food in the stores would be in bins, and people would scoop it out or take it out with their hands, causing horrific germ contamination of the products. Plastics helped eliminate that problem along with better handling of food, a benefit that many earthers ignore today. One problem solved, but another one created. The real issue here is simple overpopulation in concentrated areas. Whenever people have developed in concentrated areas, the issue of waste has become an issue. The real solution could be plastics not from petroleum-based hydrocarbons, but from corn, which is biodegradable. But then we are converting a food source needed by the world, and this will drive up rice prices, and people in third world countries will starve because now we green people are using corn instead of petroleum-based products. So let's get back to the old hand-in-the-bin method of food distribution and see the disease from food contamination skyrocket. Therefore, I have invented McCanny's Law of Green Hysteria, kind of like Newton's Law of Action and Reaction. For every green hysteria, there is an equal and opposite reaction that is equally bad or worse. Then I sign it. So anyway, that's the McCanny's Law of Green Hysteria, and I have actually developed two more to be commensurate with Newton's three laws of dynamics. And so I'm not going to go into that right now. But yeah, this whole idea of green, that green hysteria, I'm just so tired of it. And when this term green, by the way, remember the greenhouse effect? That was where this all started. And then things were green, picked up on that term green. Okay, things would be green, would be good. Router sales, and I predicted this. This is back in the 90s. I said the term green is going to become the buzzword of marketing. I mean, people would make green routers for computers. This uses electricity, so it's green. You know, so it got used for everything. It got so old, and now it's being used as hype, as hysteria. Oh, we got to take all our little plastic bags and put them together so that now we can make a brick. And they show one brick made from, you know, 2,000 little plastic bags. And it probably cost, now just imagine the recycling for these little bags. The big truck has to come, the recycling truck. They have to have people there sorting this out because all the plastics are different. They don't all go into one brick. There you got your white plastic for the milk container, you got your clear plastic for water bottles, you got your different plastic that's made for food containers, you got your styrofoam that's made for food containers. All this is different, so it has to be separated. So the amount of money and engineering and energy that it takes to recycle is phenomenal. I know people that have just that read this and said, yeah, we just started recycling. We volunteered for a recycling program for the county or whatever. And they spend all their time recycling and cleaning little plastic things and putting them in different bins and sorting it and putting it out by the street. And then the truck comes and hauls it away. But, the real issue here, folks, is over concentration of people in populated areas. And so the use of resources and the waste products that come along with that is a problem. So, the 40-hour-a-week work cycle is a problem. Because look at all the gas that we're using just running back and forth to work. So everybody's got a job. So everybody's employed. So everybody's got money. But the alternative is just don't have anybody work. Just have them sit at home and give them money. Okay, well, then they get lazy. They don't do anything. They sit there and watch TV all day in grandma's basement. And you have an unproductive society, which is doomed to failure within a very short period of time. So modern society, you know, and we're using the resources of Earth. Sometime in this century, we will run out of petroleum. There are countries right now that are on the verge of running out of their petroleum supply. There are Latin American countries. There are other countries that are selling off petroleum products, even though they only have a couple years left of that, so that the few politicians can make a lot of money. But they're going to be out of petroleum, and they're going to have to buy it on the open market at whatever price. It's going to drive their economy, absolutely tank it, because you cannot import all of your energy requirement. It's just not possible. Okay, so anyway, McCandy's Law of Green Hysteria. There you go. Trump was quoted as saying that, can't we nuke hurricanes or something like that? And of course, he was just throwing something out there. It's amazing that somebody on his security staff of only, what, there are 20 people maybe in that room, that this is a closed meeting of the president dealing with high-level security issues of the country, and somebody leaked this to the press. Well, that's pretty bizarre in itself. I mean, that would be deserving of a trip to prison for the rest of your life, I would think. But that's the modern world we live in. But the point is that Trump was simply, if he said this, he said he didn't say that, but if he did say something like that, or some quip, that what he was looking for is some way, don't we have a way to deal with hurricanes, some technological way? And the answer is yes. It was developed by myself and Russian scientists in the mid-1990s. We knew how to do this. And then it was picked up by the American military. The Russians that I knew went to the United Nations and demanded that weather modification be listed as a weapon of war. And so anyway, that was the whole point. And the UN refused to do anything. The United States refused to sign this, any kind of agreement, because the agreement said that you could not use weather manipulation against your own people. And the U.S. would not comply with that. Anyway, you know, and so in the early 2000s, this is during the George Bush Jr. era, by the way, the end of the Clinton era, which was famous for all of the devious things done by Clinton behind the scenes. And especially, remember, when Clinton first came into office, he had Dan Golden come in. This was thanks to George Bush, Clinton's mentor, George Bush Sr., to shut down NASA. And I saw this happening. I was going, what's going on at NASA? And then one of the big reasons, because they knew that Hale-Bopp, the nucleus, was discovered publicly in 1995. But it was already well known about as late as 1989, in the early 1990s, 91. Robert Harrington of the Naval Observatory had already announced it within the security community. And I think he was going to go public because it was on a very near direct collision course with Earth. And all of this is explained in my documentary on my webpage dealing, you can get the 20-year anniversary Hale-Bopp Planet X Harrington Expedition DVD, downloadable, that's available on my webpage. But that goes through that whole scenario of how the nucleus of Hale-Bopp was planetary size. That's what Harrington was looking at. That's literally Planet X. And that's when the crazy lady talks to aliens, hysteria about Planet X came out. in the next 10 years was just one person after the other with their baseball cap on backwards, all of their books being published at the same publishing house, interestingly enough, the CIA publishing house, and they all looked the same and they all had a big orange ball on the cover. The disinformation was unbelievable. And I was the main person to dispel all of this and then become accused of being a Planet Xer, you know. And no, I was the person who brought sanity to that entire topic, showing that comets, the big comets, could become planets. And that's the message they did not want anybody to hear. So anyway, that's the short version. But anyway, in the mid-1990s, the Russians picked up on my work dealing with the electrical nature of the universe, etc. And we had a joint collaboration for quite a few years until, anyway, how that ended with the CIA getting involved, I'm not going to talk about on the air. But like I say, the Russian scientists went to the UN to try and get a moratorium on using weather manipulation and laser satellites to control hurricanes. Well, in the early 2000s, the United States military picked up on that, the deep state, and they are still doing it, unbeknownst to Trump. Trump does not have a clue what's going on around him with the deep state. And that's because his advisors don't know. This gives you a level. I mean, Trump is doing like punches at, like, say, the G7. He's controlling things, trying to protect the United States from the international bankers. And oh my goodness, if he had not been elected, I can guarantee you, you would not recognize the United States would be in utter chaos. It would make the, Chicago Saturday night look like, you know, like kids play. The whole place would be, you know, just on fire and burning down. Which reminds me, by the way, when I was talking about the fires in the Amazon jungle, I forgot to mention the extensive fires in Alberta and in Oregon. Remember prior to the big standoff up there? Nobody talks about the big black, Suburbans that were up there from the government, unmarked, UN, that were burning farmers off their ranches. That was part of the Uranium One deal to secure those areas for the uranium that was there. And then the last man standing was the farmers where the all of the everything that happened up there under the Obama watch. That was to get those people off their land, and they were burning those people's houses down, burning their cattle in the fields. And the Hammonds and the Bundys and all of that going down up there in Oregon. But I forgot to mention the Alberta fires, where they burned tens of thousands of people off their land, as they did in California, as they're now doing in the burning of the Amazon jungle, to force people off land that is key to the New World Order. They want that land. And in Alberta, it was surface mining of uranium that was all about. So anyway, okay, so back to the story of Trump talking about nuking hurricanes. And of course, that was a quip. That was not like, let's go nuke hurricanes. He was saying, isn't there some way we can deal with these hurricane storms? And of course there is. And there's two ways of manipulating hurricanes. One is to use the laser satellites, which was the what was used to drum up Hurricane Katrina. Many other hurricanes, four hurricanes came through Florida one season. Then Hurricane Mike coming up the southwest corner of Florida, and then on and on. So in Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago to destroy that beautiful tropical island and many other tropical islands. So laser satellites to control hurricanes, to drag them away from populated areas, drag them off into the North Atlantic where the eastern trade winds and basically the high-altitude jet streams would pick it up and move it off to the east and to the north, where they would break up because of lack of electrical connection. So that was the plan that I had with the Russian scientists, so that you would not have landfall. Okay, and of course that was absconded with and used to control hurricanes against the American population over and over again. Okay, the other way is a passive way to disrupt hurricanes as they come in to landfall. And it works best where you have a shallow shelf. The Bahamas, Puerto Rico is not so good, and the Caribbean islands are not so good because it's relatively deep. Yeah, off of Florida, it's relatively shallow, and you have a continental shelf that goes out hundreds of miles. The Bahamas, the same. So what you would do is you would drop basically buoys. They would be anchored below with electrical conductors, and then they have either a carbon fiber or a very thin metal string that goes up to basically a weather balloon. And what that would do is short out the storms before they ever get to shore. And what happens when you short out a hurricane? It dumps its water. It dumps its water. It shorts out those initial tornadoes that are on the leading side of the hurricane, which are electrical storms also driven by the electrical currents from the ionosphere. You short it out. And that's why hurricanes tend to short out over land. They dissipate. I tell this story, I've told this before in my show. I was watching a news report one time. There was a hurricane coming into the Yucatan Peninsula, which is the southeast corner of Mexico. And the news guy is there, and he's kind of fumbling around. He's got to find a reason for why this hurricane, which was coming into the Yucatan from the east, why it dissipated. And he goes, it was those tremendous mountains of the Yucatan Peninsula that broke up this hurricane. And there are no mountains in the Yucatan Peninsula. I've been all over it, pretty much every square inch of it. And it's the flattest place you will ever find on Earth. It's flat, completely flat, for hundreds of miles in all directions, especially from the coastline. So it's perfectly flat. There are no mountains. So here's a meteorologist on TV telling you that the great mountains of the Yucatan Peninsula caused that hurricane to dissipate. No, it's because the Yucatan is very similar. There's a big continental shelf that goes out east. I've swam on that. I've swam on the reefs personally, so I've seen it nose to nose personally to know. It's not like I read about it or saw it on TV on a Discovery Program show in my grandma's basement. No, I was there. And when I talk about things on this show, it's because I have personal experience. It's not because I saw it in grandma's, you know, on TV in grandma's basement. So anyway, back to Trump. So there are ways of controlling hurricanes. And it just indicates how poorly advised the president is on crucial issues from people who are very high in the military, which also tells me that the people that are the top brass in our military sitting around the president giving him advice on military issues are not the top military people. The deep state military is alive and well and manipulating storms and doing other things that they do from the World Bank in Washington, D.C. and in Colorado Springs, etc. They're the ones that fund the National Hurricane Prediction Center, which gives you completely bogus information on hurricanes and the source of hurricanes and the cause of hurricanes. So anyway, that's very clear. But there are ways to control hurricanes and to short them out so that they drop their water and short out, and that once you short them out, the wind speed drops down. And so to dissipate, to neutralize, to disseminate, to dispatch with the storms that come in off the Atlantic. You find that China has the same issue. Japan has the same issue. The Philippines just had a big storm, and they get it constantly. So there are ways to manipulate these storms and get them out of there. And the thing you do with laser satellites is you drag them north. You just drag that storm north until the jet stream, the northern jet stream, which moves in the easterly direction around the whole world, you drag it up into below that jet stream, and the jet stream picks it up and drags it east, and it dissipates. That's what you do with them. Okay, so anyway, this has been around through how many presidencies? It was originated during the Clinton presidency. Then it existed during the George Bush presidency, then the Obama presidency, and now into the Trump presidency, and nobody has a clue. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to try and remedy that. We've also tried to get the information. In fact, John Moore tried to help me one time about get the information where they had to drain the lake at Yellowstone. In all the reasoning, which a third grader can understand, why we have to drain that lake. And NASA comes out with its solution that you got to pump water under high pressure down into the magma, which would cause a big explosion. As they found out in Hawaii, they were pumping water, live water, down into a volcanic vent, and eventually, from all that we can determine, caused a volcanic eruption, which destroyed thousands of homes and caused earthquakes and everything else. And eventually that power plant was completely overrun by the lava that it created. So anyway, that's the NASA solution. I just, by the way, saw a NASA little video on how they were going to fight asteroids, and every one of them would not work. Every solution that NASA has is a brainless idiot idea that simply will not work. So, you know, take those people, put them in a playpen, and that's all you can do. And by the way, nobody's going to Mars. I hope that this Walmart deal, I liked Elon Musk. I like what he does. I was very excited with the Falcon Heavy going off and watching his excitement. But I mean, Elon Musk is doing a lot of really stupid stuff. A lot of really stupid stuff, and damaging the, if nothing else, damaging the alternative energy field and blocking solutions like mine, which are real solutions, while they sell and soak up all the alternative energy money and give it a bad name. So he's not doing anybody any favors by being stupid about what he's doing. And no, Elon Musk and his SpaceX crew are not going to Mars, believe me. They don't know anything about radiation. They don't talk about it. It's not a subject. Okay, on to the next subject here. While I'm talking about hurricanes, Hurricane Dorian is coming across Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, to cause tremendous flooding. And there the winds are not so high. It's going to be a flooding issue. But by the time it gets to Florida, they're expecting it to be a Category 1 hurricane coming in the broadside into the eastern coast of Florida on Labor Day, so Monday. So that would be a good time to have President Trump activate our military, get them out there and spread the buoys out there to disactivate this hurricane and show that it works. Or, very simply, get the laser satellites, pull that hurricane up into the North Atlantic where it'll dissipate, and because there's no electrical currents, not because the North Atlantic is cold, but because there are no vertical electric currents to drive the hurricane. Okay, in the announcements this week, they were talking about the military X-37B spacecraft, and it set a record 718 days in space. It's an unmanned flight, so there have been things in space for much longer than that. The Russians have had things in space for far, far longer than that, but the American press only talks about American stuff. It doesn't have any clue about what's going on in Russia. But the point is that the X-37B spacecraft, if you look at it, it's like a mini shuttle, is an exact replica of the Cosmos spacecraft that Russia had thousands and thousands of flights in the 1960s, manned flights with three men in the Cosmos spacecraft. So this is, you know, to hype this up as some kind of big deal is beyond ludicrous, beyond insane. I have a picture on my website of the Cosmos. It's spelled with a K, K-O-S. It's the Russian spelling of Cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. And I have a picture on my webpage. It's a U.S. RAND photograph, high-altitude photograph, probably from a U-2 in the 1960s, of the Russian Cosmos spacecraft. And what the X-35B is, it's an exact replica. It's exactly the same. So it's nothing new here, nothing exciting. And they, who knows what they're doing with it, something dark and spooky and important, as they claim anyway. But no, the X-37B is a good 50 years behind its time. The international competition, as you know, it's just a joke. Anyway, enough of that. Just a quick quip on evolution. I've talked before about how evolution does not explain what we see in the world today. And it's oddly enough that the people who are pushing the evolutionary story are claiming science, some kind of good science. And I've taught statistics, mathematics, probability statistics at the university level, something I'm familiar with. And the majority of evolutionary biologists, I guarantee you, probably failed freshman calculus and never went beyond it, or maybe got a C, so that's the most they did in statistics. Maybe they took a statistics course, but they didn't understand it. Biological systems, very simply put, do not act in statistical manners. They don't act in random manners. They don't act in probabilistic standards. They don't follow the laws of physics, for example, entropy. If you take statistical systems and you take entropy and you take those two things and put them together, what you get is everything else in the universe. Biological systems do not follow those two laws of science and mathematics. They do exactly the opposite. So for idiots, even though Carl Sagan is dead, I still call him an idiot. He was an idiot when he was alive, so I'll continue to call him an idiot. Had no clue what he was talking about, that somehow evolution is this random process in both the cosmological sense and the evolutionary biology sense, that somehow this is just random. No, not at all. That's not how random systems work. And coupled with the three laws of thermodynamics, things become less complicated as they move out in time. Evolution does not explain what happens in true biological systems. Biological systems are completely opposed to any rule of physics, chemistry, or biology that would exist from a natural point of view. Biologists, for example, I talk about this, biologists cannot explain to you why a carbon atom in an organic molecule acts differently than a carbon atom in an inorganic molecule. Why are they different? In fact, you can have the same molecule be inorganic in one situation and organic in another situation, and they can't explain why. What makes that carbon atom organic in this molecule, in this situation, and inorganic in that situation? So they can't tell you that. They can't explain it. And so evolution simply does not work. What we're dealing with here is a much higher design, and that when you realize this, you realize that there's an infinitely complex intelligent design in the universe. It's not just some random thing that, boom, the Big Bang exploded and all the protons turned out exactly the same and all the electrons turned out exactly the same. No, that's not random. That's design. That's like, just a quip. I'm going to move on. There's another story here that Harvard did a study on wind turbines, and this you'll see in the news floating around, that three-blade wind turbines generate more heat than coal and nuclear power plants. It's absolutely, this study is absurd, because here's what they did in short. They took the energy, the heat generated in three-blade wind turbines. Not that I'm in favor of three-blade wind turbines. They're a piece of junk. They don't work. But they took the heat generated, because anytime you have an electrical system, there's heat given off. They say there's more heat given off than from a nuclear or coal-fired power plant. But they're ignoring the immediate heat, the 80% heat loss of the nuclear and coal power plants, and only attributing the greenhouse, the alleged greenhouse heating that would happen in 20 years. So they're saying, this is the headline, that wind turbines produce more heat than coal and nuclear power plants, which is a totally, totally incorrect resolution. It's totally incorrect. Absolutely incorrect, because they're ignoring the heat that goes directly into the atmosphere, the 75 to 80% heat loss that comes from burning coal and burning nuclear and using the Carnot cycle to create work and then create turn a turbine, which creates the electricity. They're totally ignoring that 80%. That's how stupid these people at Harvard are. It reminds me of the MIT professor who did a entropy study of hurricanes, showing that hurricanes were caused by warm water, but he forgot to do the energy calculation and put it in, showing that the energy of a hurricane is far greater than the energy that would be expended by hot water as the hurricane moves over the water. So there's not enough energy in seawater to create a hurricane, no matter what the process is. And it also violates the second and third law of thermodynamics, because if you left a cyclonic storm just sit there with no energy source, it would dissipate, not become stronger. So there's no mechanism to get the energy from the ocean into the storm. And there's not enough energy. So he completely missed. This is an MIT expert in entropy, forgot to do the energy calculation. This is what you get out of MIT, Stanford, Harvard. That's what you get out of those yo-yos these days. Okay, just a quick mention once again, the wing generator. People that are interested in the smaller systems, the two going from in kilowatts, 2, 3, 5, 10 kilowatt systems. The thing is, we can send these out and you can install them yourselves, which reduces quite a bit the cost. And that's what I'm going back and promoting now, because remember I was selling the 25 and 50 kilowatt systems, and most people don't need that much, and unless you're a ranch that's really big and you're converting all of your vehicles to electric, then you start needing 25 and 50 kilowatt for the charging stations. But 10 kilowatts is a lot of power. That's about five times what an average suburban house uses on an average basis. Okay, and also remember my water filter's on sale. The whole house water filter's on sale on my webpage, the MR5, MR7. Go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.